And it's coffee time, coffee with Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back right after this song. Stay tuned, folks.
My daddy taught me in this country everyone's the same. You work hard for your dollar and you never pass the blame when it don't go your way. Now I see all these big shots whining on my evening news about how they're losing billions and it's up to me and you to come running to. Here. 'Cause they're selling make believe and we don't buy that here. 'Cause in the real world they're shutting Detroit down while the boss man takes his bonus pay and jets on out of town. Town. Here in the real world, they're shutting Detroit down. Here in the real world, they're shutting Detroit down. Well, that old man's been working in that plant most all his life. Now his pension plan's been cut in half and he can't afford to die. And it's a crying shame. His calloused hands. Well, let me tell you, friend, it gets me. City town. Here in the real world, they're shutting Detroit down. Here in the real world, they're shutting Detroit down. In the real world, they're shutting Detroit down.
We are back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This October 25th, 2025, and I'll say good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Hopefully you guys can hear me a little bit better today. We had to do some connection issues here, but we did I did get some repairs done on the internet, so we should have a good connection.
Sounds great.
Good.
Sounds good.
Well, that's always a good thing. Tim, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
I would love to. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come, Lord, and we ask that you would bless this broadcast, bless this ministry, and Lord, that you would just bless the endeavors that go on before your throne, Lord. We know you don't need us. but we need you. And we are pleased to participate in any way that you see fit to use us, Lord. We just pray that you would guide, direct, put words in our mouth and help us to call out the things that you want called out, Lord, and help us to influence and just help people to see and hear the things that you want done. I ask, Lord, that you would put your hand upon your people wherever they may be in the world and whatever they might be doing, that you would bless them and protect them and just guide them in these difficult and trying times, Lord. But we know that our Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth in every mine, and that, Lord, these deluding influences and these items of wickedness are not intended for us, but will be turned back against our enemies. We just thank you for it, Lord, and we ask all that you just bless us this day. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
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 Well, there is a lot to talk about this morning, and I want to start off by talking about some of the things that are going over there in, Dublin. I watched the videos of this earlier this week, and I mean, just people taking to the streets and basically rioting over the rape of a 10-year-old girl that was raped by an asylum seeker, I guess is what they call them, illegal immigrant. They got mad, and I mean, it was just, they took to the streets, burning vehicles. People were, really upset, rightfully so, wanted justice. So, what do you guys know about what happened over there?
I watched a video on X, and, I didn't get a chance to send it out to you guys. I don't think I did. You may have gotten it. And it was just a raw cell phone footage of some citizen journalists. And I guess what happened was the first night of riots earlier in this week, Jason, the citizens in Dublin, white Irish folks, just pissed off that this happened. It was a little 10-year-old Irish girl that got raped by a Tunisian man that was there illegally. They took to the streets. You know, they sharpened up the pitchforks and lit the torches and went to the streets. And what it looked like, or what it appeared, was if you were brown and in downtown, you were going to get beat down. That's pretty much what happened, was they went through the streets of Dublin. And if you didn't look like you were an Irishman, it was a bad night for you. So the second night that rolled around, you couldn't find a brown guy anywhere on the sidewalks. And so I'll jump back to this video footage I saw. And the citizen journalist says, where are you guys going? And this guy says something like, we can't find any of these Africans because they've all crawled into the hotel that they're staying in. So we're going to have a good old-fashioned rat killing. And what they ended up doing was burning the hotel to the ground.
Yeah.
And what I haven't seen on your Fox News or your CNN or any of that is any of that coverage. Have y'all seen it kind of major media outlet?
It's crickets, man. Yeah, no doubt.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
To me, it's crazy. If, you know, this is the capital of Ireland, and you got thousands of people in the street openly saying, we're going to go burn the hotel to the ground. And then they did it.
Yeah.
And you would think that would make some kind of
wave.
I don't know. Yeah. And I think what you just said, Tim, is the thing is, you know, it's like chicken pox, I think. I don't think they want people getting around that because it might get contagious.
Yes. Yes. And my thought when I did see that, you did send me a link to that, and I didn't watch it. But the thing that occurred to me while I was looking at it was this is what happens when rulers or overlords or whatever don't do anything about these injustices that go on. At some point, the body politic, the citizens, the people, they get full of it and get fed up with it. And when that cup gets full, it overflows in a bad way. I mean, it gets poured out. And you know, people are like, well, you can't just go around randomly attacking these other people that weren't responsible for it. And it's like, that's what happens when justice isn't targeted and fulfilled, you know, or brought out. I mean, if you don't,
and quit,
if you don't, yeah, and if you don't do that, it becomes broadband, broad spectrum. You know, it's you can target the disease or the virus that way, or they'll just, what does the Bible say? If some body part offends you, cut it off, you know, and that's kind of like, it's like, if you have that in your society, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, fine. We'll just get rid of all of them. You know, then we don't got to worry about it. So
as a patriot, as an American, this makes me happy. I'm going to tell you why. Because government, legitimate government, exists to protect the rights,
yes,
the God-given rights, not the government rights, the God-given rights of the individual. Government, that's government's only role, is to ensure those rights are protected and not infringed upon. When a government turns upside down and starts protecting the so-called rights of the offender, that is violating the rights of this innocent little 10-year-old girl, then it is incumbent upon the people to right that wrong. And that's what our founders believed in this country, that's the reason we had the revolution. That is the reason why the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution was codified the way it was, is that it is the right and the duty of the people to make that right. And so what I see happening in Ireland, I look at as a patriotic American and applaud. And I sincerely, maybe it's too early, we're only a couple minutes into the broadcast, but my prayer is, God, let that come to this country. Let that type of righteous anger come to this country where our people stand and say, we're not going to allow that. If the government of California, the government of Chicago, Illinois, or wherever it may be, if you will not be allowed to allow this, the people will not stand for it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, and the biblical mandate, and really even our forefathers' mandate, was when evil flourishes, when good men do nothing. So, you know, I think that the chief backup plan is, you fix it or we will, but it's going to get fixed.
That's right.
You know, and I'm with you, Will. I feel the same way. It's like, it's about damn time. So,
yep.
But anyways.
You know, I'm reminded of the story that Pastor Pete used to tell. I think it was in North Carolina. You guys may remember the story better than me, of the porn shop that came into the little town in North Carolina that was being ran by the two queers. And then it burned to the ground one night. And you have to look at that as that's the same spirit. It's a different situation, but that's the same spirit of what's going on right now in Dublin, Ireland, and that little community in North Carolina 30 years ago or better, when the Talmudic influence on the local government had taken over and said, what can we do? You know, they've paid their taxes. They've paid for their permit. You know, they're allowed to do this. And then you had community members that said, that's not the way this works.
Yeah. Not gonna happen.
The people say this isn't going to happen. And that's what I see. I think it's been a long time coming. What was it, Popeye, the cartoon? You had all you could stand, and you can't stand no more. I think that's kind of what's happening right now in Ireland. They can't stand no more.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just sad that it takes something so horrific.
Yeah.
Make a change. And it's even sadder to me that the ones that are supposed to protect and maintain that order and everything in your society sit there and twiddle their thumbs. So, and I got the distinct impression when I was watching the videos that the, what do you want to call it, constabulary
yeah.
over there wasn't too worried about whether that hotel worked or not.
I mean, it's almost like they were watching, huh?
It was kind of a spectator sport, you know. So I thought
about that two ways, Tim. I'm sorry, Jason. Go ahead.
Well, and did anybody hear? I was wondering if they got the guy, and I couldn't find that information out. Did anybody see that?
So I dug deep into it, and I was actually, I think what pissed everybody off was they did get the guy, and within 8 hours, he was a free man.
Oh, geez.
That's what happened in the beginning of this, was this was a known party, I guess, so to speak. So I think the police brought him in, questioned him, did whatever they do, but he didn't go to the jailhouse. He went back to that hotel is what happened.
Well, yeah, you're talking about the rapist, Jason?
Yeah,
they caught him. Yeah, I heard the same thing. Yeah, they basically just kicked him out after a short period of time there, like a few hours. He was back on the street.
They were...
So maybe he's a dead man now.
They were acting like bat. Well, I'll tell you what I've been trying to find is the death toll from the hotel. Because if you watch the video, they pretty much, when the guy said they were going to have a rat killing, anybody that's ever smoked out rats from a corn crib, you kind of form a semicircle with your 22 pistols or your clubs or whatever, and when they start coming out, that's when you go to work, and that's kind of what it looked like they were going to do. So those immigrants in the hotel had the choice of they can burn or get beat. You know, which one are you going to decide? And so I don't know if the dude's alive or not. Let's hope that he's not.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you this, though. Tim brought up the local cops there, and I was watching that. And I wouldn't go as far as saying they were smiling, but they had kind of a smirk on their face. I don't think they were real upset of what was happening.
Yeah.
Well, in essence, they probably risk their lives in that area every day, too, because things are rampant. And most of your police over there, they don't even carry firearms. I mean, they're, you know,
right.
they basically send them out with a whistle, you know, and some non-lethal force items if they're lucky and if they're trained right. So they probably weren't, yeah, I mean, there's...
I would imagine they were happy that somebody was doing what they couldn't do or what they're not allowed to do.
Yeah. That would be my guess.
I do think, though, going forward, I know this went on pretty much all week. It's calmed down a little bit right now, but we've mentioned it before, but we definitely, these are our people. I mean, you know, that I know I've my people, some of my people in the, came from Ireland, and they're our people, and we should keep them in prayer for their safety, one, for their children over there with all of these immigrants, but just that that righteous anger will be metered so that it is righteous and not malicious. Yes. And, you know, that they are doing the right thing as far as I'm concerned as it stands now, and we should ask for that protection for them.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of that verse that talks about be angry and sin not, you know. So
yeah, that's right, Tim.
Yeah,
I'll make a comment. Jason, I'm sorry I'm talking this morning, but I'll say this. There's definitely divisions of people. You can tell we are different people, and I'm talking about the races. And the way I saw what happened in Dublin is it was our people that rose up. You can call it the wrath of the angry Saxon or whatever you want to call it, but they rose up, and it was like they had a job to do. They went and did the job. And then they went home. They didn't loot stores. They didn't, you know, there wasn't anybody running down the sidewalk with a 75-inch TV. They went and did what they should have done, and then they went home. And I guess what I'm – it wasn't a riot. I think they're calling it a riot. I think it was a directed righteous anger is what it was. And once they – accomplished their mission, so to speak, it was over, and it has tailed off. And like I said, you didn't see the department stores getting looted in downtown Dublin.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. As a grassroots movement, it was pretty much a surgical strike.
That's it.
If you really look at it, I mean, yeah, they weren't interested in anything else but that, and that's what you call a surgical strike. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. we're just done with that.
It wasn't an excuse for lawlessness. And
right.
and I think that's the difference for people who have the laws written on their heart, is they had a job to do, they went and did it, and then they went about their business, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, instead of getting caught up in that that fervor and using it as an excuse for lawlessness. I think that's a good object lesson of the difference in people. Those are the people who have law written on their heart, the law written on their heart.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they might have had a moving of the Holy Spirit as well.
Amen.
I think that's foundational, personally. I mean, I agree with you. You know, it's kind of like, wow. You know, they talk about these, what do they call them, flash mobs or whatever, but that's kind of, and that's not a social media flash mob there. That's more like a spiritual flash mob. So where did all these people come from? So, yeah, that's it's amazing. I mean, when you see it that way. Sorry, I you know, there's a terrifying aspect of it and everything else, and there should be, and let's hope that some of these tears and were paying attention and got the message. So,
well, I hope they got justice. I hope they got justice served, and I hope that that rapist, I mean, you think what a sick individual. I hope he's underground. You know, it's just
a burn to a crisp.
Yeah, either one. I'd take either one. But yeah.
Yep.
Well, and talking about stuff over abroad, China, I guess this was one of you guys sent this link, but it was says China is making big move in our own backyard, but no one is talking about it. And this article talks about the number of acres that they've purchased over in, what was it, Nicaragua?
Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm. 1.5 million acres? I had no idea that they had that much farm ground over there. And some people are saying that it's a lot higher than that.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of other countries besides just Nicaragua, I'm sure. It's just the latest, greatest, biggest number, you know. So, that's not really – that's actually landmass connected, right? Yeah, so
right.
That's interesting. I mean, when you think about it.
Reading into this, one of the things. I'm sorry, Tim.
Well, they've bought a lot. They own quite a bit in the U.S., which is.
Go on.
Go ahead.
Now, one of the things that was interesting in Nicaragua, in addition to the farmland, of just trying to figure out what was going on down there, China almost exclusively controls the gold mining in Nicaragua, which is. I didn't realize Nicaragua was such a large producer of gold, but it is. Evidently, it produces a good bit of gold along with some other metals that come up out of the ground, and it looks like China controls more than 90% of that. They pretty much own every gold mine in Nicaragua.
Wow.
And to me, that's, you know, farmland is certainly strategic, but I would say that's pretty strategic too, to own that much of the gold production from a gold producing country. It makes you wonder why Nicaragua or the Nicaraguans would sell that. You know, usually countries that are sitting on that type of mineral, that type of resource, you know, that's how countries get rich. But they've advocated that to China. That's interesting to me.
Well, and it kind of ties back into BRICS too, probably. I mean, this this big deal with BRICS, and a lot of those countries in BRICS are what they're Central American countries. I mean, basically, we have Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Egypt, Ethiopia, Indonesia, Iran, and the United Arab Emirates. So when you look at that, those are very mineral-rich countries, a lot of them are. I mean, so that's it plays into that, too. I mean, the first thing you got to do is tie up the minerals, and all wealth comes from the ground. I mean, basically, if you get right down to it and distill it down. So this is a move to take over the wealth of the world. I mean, that's what it amounts
yes.
to.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of an example, too, when you're talking about the wealth of the world, the minerals, that sort of thing, is if you look at it kind of geographically of the influence of these other, it almost seems like we're getting circled. You know, like the United States, as far as a nation, it's kind of like we're being encircled. If you look to the north and Canada, the Chinese and the Indian and Middle Eastern influence that is there controlling a lot of their oil and gas production and that sort of thing. And then you go south to Mexico and the same thing. The Chinese own just a tremendous amount of land in Mexico and Central America. You know, Trump, there was a lot of noise of him making headway in trying to take Greenland strategically and that sort of thing. Well, a lot of that is Russian influence into that region. Anyways, I guess what I'm saying is if you look at BRICS and those incredibly wealthy nations, and then you look at geopolitically the world, it's kind of looking more and more like we're standing sort of alone over here in the Western Hemisphere.
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, and there was a poll that just came out, you know, and I'm a little always leery on polls because of the fact that the commissioning agency for polls kind of steers the questions, so they steer the outcomes. But I thought this was interesting that Statista did one, and they surveyed 17 issues, and the one that Americans worried about by far and large the most was cost of living. You know, and gee, imagine that. You know, what happens if you can't afford your cost of living? You stop living. You know, I mean, or
yeah.
But yeah, basically, it was out of 60,000 Americans surveyed between 2024 and 2025, right at 40% considered crime, economy. You know, but the economy was right up there at number one. That hey. Groceries are too high, rent's too high, electricity's too high, and nobody can afford it, you know, so, or people are concerned they're not going to be able to afford it. And I think a lot of these are drivers as far as that price that's going up and as far as creating that situation. So that, to me, at least it seems like.
Well, I'm going to take just a step backwards real quick, talking about what was that migrant who, when they burned the hotel down, somebody just sent me an article, and apparently, okay, well, one of the headlines came out, and it was kind of interesting. They said he was mistakenly released from prison, but he was I didn't realize that he had been convicted on two counts of raping a 14-year-old and assaulting the girl's mother. And he was convicted of that and sentenced to do 12 months in prison over a month ago. And then he was out on the streets, and they raped this 10-year-old again after that had happened. And I guess that was part of it. So that was interesting. I didn't know that before.
No, I didn't either.
I want it up. Wow. Yeah. So he was a serial rapist. Basically.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And they said, oh, yeah, it was a mistake for him to be out on the streets. Yeah, because he was supposed to be convicted or in prison for at least a year. But, I mean, that's not long enough. So, I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there while we were talking about it.
Since you brought it back up, I just want to – culturally, a lot of these North African countries, because of the Muslim influence, the majority of the Muslim countries in the Middle East. And that's for, you know, when we say Tunisia, we're talking about Upper Africa, North Africa, which is predominantly Muslim, and then the Middle East. Rape is a part of their culture. it is foreign to us, but that is a I wouldn't go as far as saying it's accepted, but it is a part of their culture, and has been. It's the Quran. It's part of their religious influences. The raping of young children. So once again, remember, as these people are getting accepted into our European societies, no matter where we're at, don't kid yourself that they're going to change their culture,
right?
Because they're not being. There's no reason for them to. Especially what you're talking about, Jason. You know, there's a revolving door in the prisons. They're just going to go back out and continue to be what they are. And that's dirty Muslims. And, you know, we're welcoming these people with open arms and into Christendom, into, you know, our European societies. And this is what we get. So kind of Deuteronomy 28.
Very good point. Yeah, we don't realize. And the other thing is that God makes specific call outs in the Bible about those issues with rape and how it works. There is a victim. It is a crime. And to them, usually what we would consider the victim is held accountable for it. They're punished because of it. So it's, yeah, there's all kinds of twists and turns that just make a guy shake his head.
I'd like to get y'all's opinion on how I understand the law when it comes scripturally. And I had a conversation with an older gentleman this week who lives back east, and this very conversation came up, and it was about the story. It was about this news story. And what I was trying to explain, and I'll defer to my friends, Tim and Jason, maybe y'all can help me explain it a little better. Biblically speaking, the way the law is supposed to work, as I understand it, is there's retribution and execution. That's the punishment for crimes. And if it is a crime that you can get retribution for, say you steal my horse, you steal my donkey, you whatever the case may be, where there can be some sort of retribution, that is what happens, unless you're a serial thief and that sort of thing. But there are some crimes where there is no retribution, and that's crimes against nature, God's plan, things like homosexuality or rape or incest or whatever the case may be. And in that instance, there's only one punishment. Am I off base on that?
No, I don't think so at all.
Okay.
Yeah, murder, rape, and kidnapping.
Yes.
Yeah, those are all. Yeah.
When you look at Moses' law, theft in the nighttime, you know, things like that, because that involves, you know, breaking into the home and that type of violation. When you look at those, there is only one punishment for that. And because of that Talmudic influence of the enemy and the way our law has been perverted and as far as we've gotten from the scriptural judicial system, so to speak, that is the reason why we have repeat, you know, you said serial rapist, Tim, and that's what I guess my mind went off on, is because there was a time there was no such thing as a serial rapist. There may be a rapist, and then he ceased to exist.
Yeah, one and done. That was,
well, that, yeah, and that was exactly the, right. That was the design behind it. Cause
yes, sir.
If you had somebody like that, you wanted to remove them from society. So because you love the people of society and you were there to protect them, and when you have a love for your people, you have a hatred for people that are trying to destroy or harm your people.
Yes.
And it's a strong deterrent because it's a witness to those people who think they could get away with that. You know, it ups the stakes. It changes the, maybe we shouldn't do that. They defer their baser desires because of their survival instinct. You know, it becomes that way. So, yeah. Same way with a bull that pushes or kills someone, you know, has to be put down so that doesn't continue in the chain of inheritance, you know, genealogically. It puts a break in that chain. And that's, as I understand it, that's the plan. And It seems perfectly logical to me. So.
Yes. It is. I will tell you, it is logical. If you are people of the book, it is logical. If you're reading the Bible in totality and understanding the fulfillment of law and that sort of thing. But it was shocking. It was shocking to me to have a conversation with someone who's 30 years older than me and have them pretty much. I mean, they said, well, that's not Christian at all to believe that. And, you know, they're, you have to give that guy the opportunity to repent and, you know, have his heart changed. And it was like you're talking about, Tim, with a bull, you know, genetically speaking, I guess maybe I'm just too biased or old fashioned in my thinking that there are human beings that are just no good.
Yep. Bad
seed. I mean, that's just,
yeah,
they're just bad seeds. And I may not win any friends saying this, but you were talking about the bull, Tim. You know, I grew up with hunting dogs, and it was common. You know, you get a dog that crushes a bird or something like that. Well, he doesn't get to be a dog anymore because you want that out of the genetics. You know, they have a purpose, and they're being bred for a reason. And anyways, I don't know. That's a topic we can change. I just it was interesting to me, to a guy that I consider to be a good Christian man, attempting to rebuke me because I think rapists deserve the death penalty. So,
well, I think we'd have a lot less rape in society if we did that, don't you?
Yeah.
I was talking
to someone one time when I was much younger, and they said, well, I suppose that you would kill somebody for, I think she used the word picking up sticks on Sunday, but my father-in-law, bless his heart, said, well, how many do you think you'd have to kill before they quit picking up sticks on Sunday? But, you know,
there you go.
Small example of a big problem, you know, not necessarily that, but things like murder and rape, it speaks. And this is the other problem that we run into when we allow people to define terms. I mean, they, for some reason, they've defined terms as just like that, a righteous judgment on those individuals who do that. They've defined that term as murder because they've been put to death, and it's like for their crimes, per God's way of doing things. And that's not murder. Murder is different, you know. So it's taking of a life unrighteously, without
the innocent,
the proper authority,
the innocent life. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's why these churches have worked so hard at removing the law. You remove the law, then, and say that the law has been done away with and you can't do anything about it, then you have that. That's when you allow that sin back into society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost sickening at the deviancy and the deviousness of these churches, these Scofield churches that will tell you, you know, that was all laid at the foot of the cross, Jason, you know, that law that, you know, that was all done away with. Right there, and you stop and think what their, you know, misguided intentions or just plain evil, whatever it is. When you stop and think about it, what you just said is what they're telling you is at Jesus's death on the cross opened the door for lawlessness and sin to abound. I mean, that's
right.
That's kind of what they're saying, you know. And when you put it in that perspective of what they're, if you boil it down and maybe take the lipstick off of it because they're trying to make it into something that it's not, what they're really telling you is Jesus came here to die on the cross so everyone could sin openly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not the way that it is.
Of course not. Yeah,
he didn't say I came to do away with the law and bring anarchy. He said, I added to it. And so,
He's the fulfillment of it. And he didn't say that it was ending, but anyways.
I had that, almost that exact same argument with somebody this week, and they were telling me the same thing. Well, they were telling me that I just needed to, you know, you hate the sin and love the sinner, and we just need to pray for these people. And talking about some really trashy people, some people that biblically deserve the death penalty. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. And they brought up, well, that was, you know, the law is done away with. And they just couldn't believe that I didn't understand that. And, you know, it's, you know, you're talking Old Testament and, you know, that's all been done away with. And I said, no, I said, there's a difference between done away with and fulfilled. And you better look into this because it's kind of a big deal. And people just, you know, it made me realize it's like, you know, you think about these churches, you know, at your average church, your Judeo-Christian, and I like the way that you put it, Schofield churches. And you think about it, and it's like, you know, I keep thinking, well, not all the time, but you just wonder, it's like, well, they're just, you know, they just don't know the truth. They're just, you know, if they could just see the truth, or if they could, if you could talk to them, if you could explain some stuff to them, you know, that they'd come around. And I really don't think so. I think it's just becoming more and more evident that they are on the other side.
Yes.
And, you know, and I'm seeing that more and more. And it's like, you know, it's like, and, you know, Pastor Peters could see it, and, you know, he lived it. And, you know, there's just so many things that are just becoming evident. And it's like, you know, at the same time, there's people that are waking up and seeing the truth. I mean, this with what's happened and people waking up and, to who the Jews are. I mean, we're seeing stuff that is just all over that you used to be labeled anti-Semitic. They used those hot words and they'd call you all kinds of names. They called you a racist if you said anything that was anti-Jewish anymore. And now there is a mainstream movement that is, you know, pointing out and saying, hey, these aren't the you know, God's chosen people. I don't know.
Ain't it cool?
It is cool. it's encouraging to me. I'm like, I love it.
It is so encouraging.
I love people seeing it. I love people waking up, and it's like, hey, you know, they're behind this, and they're behind that, and they're bringing up the Holocaust, and they're saying, you know, hey, we were lied to. And they're, you know, and it's like the truth got out of the bag, and it's like running rapid, and people are jumping on it, and they're like, hey, I want to get some more information on this.
All right, this isn't part of any show prep or anything, but I have a 2-minute story to tell you.
Yes,
real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yesterday morning, I was on my way into work. I stopped at it's a truck stop is what it is. I stopped at a truck stop to get a cup of coffee and to fill up my truck. And, guy I know, a local cowboy rancher, he's actually a Hispanic guy, good guy. And you gotta remember, in Texas we got Texicans, right? They're like 4th or 5th generation Texans, but they're Hispanic. So he's a Texican guy, and he comes up and shakes my hand. We start talking. He's in his late 50s, and we're just talking about the rain that's coming this weekend or whatever. And he tells me, he says, hey, I got an exchange student that's staying with my family. And I said, you do? And he said, yeah, 16-year-old girl. He said, her mother's a medical doctor in Munich, Germany. Her father's an engineer. And I said, well, how cool is that? And he said, yeah. And he said, she said the craziest thing to me. This just happened. This is 24 hours ago. And I said, really? Robert, what did she tell you? And he said, she told me that the Jews weren't in concentration camps. So there I am, holding a 24-ounce cup of coffee, standing by some gas pumps with this, you know, this Texican, thinking, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do here? And I said, tell me what you mean. He said, well, she says that everybody is being lied to. Now, this is Germany, right, where you can't mention Nazis or you get arrested. And he said, yeah, he said this little 16-year-old girl was telling me that there was no such thing as concentration camps the way we see them in our history books, that they were actually work camps where the government imprisoned these people, and they were homosexuals and communists, and some of them were Jews, but they were making, you know, bombs, and they were, you know, and I'm listening to him, and I'm thinking, this little 16-year-old girl knows the truth.
Yep.
You know, this is really what happened, you know, that they were work camps. And it famously, if you guys will remember in your history, you know, they always like to show Dachau and some of these concentration camps, Auschwitz being the big one, right? And they had the big wrought iron gate. And if you remember what the German phrase was, it was Arbeit mit frei. And it was work makes you free. And that was kind of the plan. Anyway, the thing that was neat to me was there is a, and, oh, and he says, yeah, she got on the internet and starts showing us these videos. And he said, man, all the things I was ever taught is a lie. So I'm looking at this Mexican American guy in Texas telling me what a 16-year-old German is teaching him. And he's realizing in his late 50s, everything they told me was a lie. And so I may have directed him to Scriptures for America and told him, yeah, maybe you can find some truth there, buddy, because, yeah, everything you've been told is a lie. And so anyways, I just thought that was encouraging, too.
That is encouraging. I love that story. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
there's certainly an awakening going on across the land. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that go, huh? Wow, that's amazing. So,
yes.
Well, and kind of stepping back, I think the biggest thing that, and I really haven't seen this one come out yet, broadband on a lot of these things, but the law that was changed was that law of sacrifice, you know? And it's amazing how quiet the people get when they talk about the chosen people over there in the live land. And you respond with, well, if that's the case and they don't believe that the Messiah has come, why aren't they still sacrificing animals per Mosaic law?
Yeah.
Listen, you can almost see the switch flip off, you know? Like, I mean, I know why we're not as God's chosen people, because Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the one that ended it all. That was the change. But, okay, you know, so it's just one of those. You don't hear people talk about that from the pulpit in these in a lot of these churches. So
I have a smart aleck response to that, Tim, and it's not meant to be derogatory towards you, but the reason why the Jews aren't sacrificing animals anymore is because they've been sacrificing our children for the last 50 years.
This is very true. Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
no doubt.
And I still, you know, along those lines, I know we got other things to go. We've just gone down some rabbit trails, but it's still, you know, in my awakening, when I really started waking up to the truth several years back, and it still just boggles my mind that Americans are so stupid that you don't see just what's in your face. And then I have to remind myself, I was that stupid once, too. So all through Scripture, not one time are God's chosen people referred to as Israelis or Israelites. And those occupiers, the liars, the enemy, have rewired our thinking into believing that Israelis are Israelites. They never refer to themselves as Israelites, ever. And no, I have looked they are offended by it. That's exactly right, Tim. I have looked and looked and looked trying to find one reference to where those illegitimate occupiers refer to themselves as Israelites, and they never do.
And that to me, it's very simple, but that to me is a lot of truth there. Of they refuse to call themselves Israelites because we're the enemy. The Israelites are the enemy of the Israelis. That's what I think.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, and there's it's a continuing, you know, there's a lot there to be said. There's no doubt about it. I mean, when you look into it, you start looking into it, it's not a rabbit hole. It's a cavern.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. You know, I'll change it a little bit because I know we've talked about this, it seems like, several times in the last month or two. It seems like it's a snowball that's rolling down the hill. We were talking about Russia earlier and that sort of thing when we were talking about BRICS, but I don't know if you guys got a chance to take a look or if you've heard, I guess France's top general now has come out and said France has to be ready to go to war within 4 years. It's just, it
yeah,
keeps
with
on
Russia,
going.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
With Russia, I'm sorry, with Russia. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I read that. When I think about it, well, the first thought that popped into my mind was that, you know, the longest, most expensive war that we ever faced as a nation was the Cold War. I mean, it's never brought up because it was never, you know,
right,
financially, but think about how long and how many years and how much treasure was put into that. And I see there's some YouTube videos out over there in Europe, and they've got all these bunkers that were from the Cold War, you know, gas masks and things stored, and people are exploring them. But the amount of money that was shoved in a hole in the ground is just mind-boggling, really. But, you know, war doesn't have to be real. It just has to be real enough that the perception, is, you know, goes on, and then the money machine can be laundered, the things can be turned. People will combine and do things that they wouldn't ordinarily put up with at any other time when there's a unified front necessary in order to sustain our way of life, you know, and continue all these sort of, you know, elements. So, and it's funny how Russia's always in the middle of it. The Cold War was a Russian thing too, right? Although it was the Soviet
yep.
Union back then, but, you know, nevertheless, it goes on. It's strange. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to read this real quick. This came in earlier. This is good. Derek, appreciate this. he sent in and said, there is only one law. There is only one solution. It is found in the scripture. God said, if you obey me, I will bless you and give you prosperity. But if you disobey me, I will bring you into debt and bondage. We can only restore righteousness in America by studying his law and reaffirming it as the foundation of our legal system. Deuteronomy 11:26-28, King James Version. Behold, I sent before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and the curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Good scripture. Good point.
Good scripture.
Yes, it is. Very good.
And what about this truck driver? Another truck driver, man. Did you see the video of that crash that where that illegal whatever Indian raghead camel jockey? He should be driving a camel somewhere else in some other his own country because he sure don't know how to drive a semi truck. But would he kill three people? But man, he just plowed into them and he never hit the brakes.
Looked intentional to me.
It did to me too.
Yeah.
Well, and as I think Will already said, he was another one of those, and I don't know how you say that word, sin?
Seek.
Or whatever.
Seek.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's their, what, warrior class, right? Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, over there. And,
it is.
In the CAV system. So there's another one. And it's interesting because right before this all came out last week, I was reading about this fact that we're really, really super short on truck drivers, transportation drivers in the United States. And they were talking about how we need more rules, and due to this fact, we need more. And I don't know, has it occurred to anyone else that it seems like the more rules and the more, whatever you want to call it, laws that we have regarding this thing, that it just makes it worse, you know? I mean, and in the meantime, the floodgates are open for these illegal aliens and these people coming in to drive, and these kinds of things happen, you know? I mean, I don't remember this going on 40 years ago. I mean, it was like,
yeah.
Not saying there weren't truck wrecks, but not like this. These are extreme.
You know, a thought occurred to me, Tim, the difference between laws and rules. Laws are absolute. Rules can be changed at whims of those that are in power. And that's really... For example, like these rules that govern the commercial motor vehicle carriers and that sort of thing. You know, you have states like California and, you know, where Derek's at up in Canada, with the rules change to favor these people that are not citizens, don't speak English, you know, maybe don't even have a normal driver's license, much less a commercial motor vehicle carrier's license. They just change the rules to accommodate those people, even though lawfully, it doesn't fit the absoluteness of Canada's for Canadians, you know, that sort of thing. I hope I'm making sense on that. I'm not advocating people be rule breakers or anything like that, but what I guess that's what I came to mind is, understand rules are made by rule makers, and they can arbitrarily be changed at the whim of the rule makers to fit whatever agenda they want carried out. The law, specifically God's law, is absolute, and it cannot be amended by man. And that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. What comes to mind is the ATF. The ATF has made their living off arbitrarily changing rules for no reason. And I know how at least us three feel about that. So I don't know. Maybe rules are made to be broken. Laws aren't.
Well, and I have an example that I find interesting about this thing, and it's a real life one, is, you know, around here in a lot of ag-type environments, during harvest and during that time, you're allowed to drive, actually you're around here, but you're allowed to drive a semi-truck whether you have a CDL or not. They simply, and you don't even have to be 21. I mean, it's just like, as long as you're within, I think it's 250 miles of home base, you can drive a semi-truck and with a regular driver's license, and you can haul ag-related products, anything from fence post to corn. I mean, and it's kind of like the deer season thing we brought out before, as far as very low fatalities or injuries list. There's not any problem with it to speak of. I mean, it's amazing how those guys handle those, you know, same semi truck that they're running up and down the interstate, and they're loaded at 80,000 pounds rolling down the road. They don't have any, but these are all our people driving these trucks. And
yeah.
We had one over here, and he was going down the highway with a load of corn, and a lady pulled out from the north out in front of him. She didn't see him due to the sunrise, and she just pulled out onto the highway. And rather than hit her, he went across the road and rolled his truck into the ditch. And it cost him his life. But the point was, is I see that as just, that's that law wrote on your heart. You know, I'm not going to hit.
Yep.
Yeah. He was doing everything he possibly could to avoid that situation. So, you know, that's kind of my example of how that works. It's about those sort of things. We've had a primary soul change in that kind of situation where their life doesn't matter. And, you know, so what?
I'll just
crash into them.
We're going to take a break. We'll pick this up when we get back. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after this song.
In God we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution.
Rout all those traitors right out of our system.
The second American Revolution today.
And we're back. Tim, you there? Okay.
Yes, I am.
I wanted to make sure I pushed the right button.
Well, and I was pushing one too, so I'm here.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's talking about those, you know, those semi drivers, and I've seen a lot of stuff. And I guess those semi drivers are getting picked up like crazy from ICE, and good riddance. I mean, it's like those people can't drive, and that's what is dangerous about those guys is they have there's no value on human life.
No.
Well, they believe they're going to be reincarnated.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Sooner rather than later. That's the way they drive.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, and if they want to fix the problem, all they got to do is get out of it. I mean, this whole business of the government thinking that they're going to legislate all of this. They've basically, through medical concerns and everything else, they've taken all of these. Did people have heart attacks going down the road or have some issues? Yes, but that's a productive thing that some of the older people can do is do that, and they do a pretty good job of it. Or, you know, some of them did with predisposition. But we have more training, more background searches, more all of these regulatory burdens that are placed on the people. I mean, you want to talk about carrying a burden. Those people have a ton of stuff they have to carry, and to the point that they're driving out the good drivers, and then they're filling these seats through permit or through, you know, licensure with trash. I mean, for lack of a better word.
So, I think that's that rule change, right, Tim? Like, there's rules for us, our people, and they've driven us out of the profession, or forced people into early retirements because of age or medical issues or whatever the case, like you were talking about with them carrying their health card. But these unlicensed illegal aliens, the rules change for them, and the same rules don't apply with, you know, the medical cards or, I don't know, citizenship for that matter. And immediately what comes to mind is, you know, the alien amongst us is going to rise higher and higher while we go lower and lower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it always takes me back to that definition of a permit or a license. That's something that you get when doing it would be illegal otherwise. And so
that's right.
They create this situation that makes it illegal unless you pay to play and you jump through all their hoops and get their permits. And when you look about the things, it's been said on here before, but there isn't much you can do anymore without a license. It's pretty much illegal to do anything. You know, I mean, yeah, hunt, drive, you know, just die, be born.
Yeah.
You know, the list goes on and on.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the dying thing. When you really stop and think about it, like, you know, midwives have to be licensed, you know, in some states and that kind of thing. And if you want to put a dead body in the ground, well, you got to be licensed as a mortician, as a funeral director. Yep. So, I mean, from cradle to grave, they got you on the licensing, right? And everything in between.
Yep, yep. And that's not God's way of doing things. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like some of the refugees that we got coming in are coming in legally, I guess, more South Afrikaners.
Yep. I'm good with that.
7,000 of them. Wow. That's, well, those people over there got a lot, there's a lot of angst over there. There's no doubt about it. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and if you think about it, wouldn't they rather stay home than come over here? I mean, think about how, that's the other thing. A lot of these illegals, like we were just talking about, they just can't wait to get over here and cause all kinds of madness and mayhem. I think these people they're under, you know, there's a lot of stress on them because of the fact that they're being killed where they're at. I mean, you know, it's like, it's a big deal.
The word refugee in this country has lost its meaning. In my opinion, because it's been thrown around, these folks are legitimate refugees. I mean, they are a targeted class of people that have been targeted for financial ruin and execution. They are literally leaving to save their lives and the lives of their families. And, you know, I just keep going back to that Simon Roche interview, Jason. You know, no matter where these people land, they're going to make it better.
Right, right.
And that's what we need in this country.
Amen.
So, and I bet you they know how to drive semi-trucks without killing people.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And they know who God is, and by far and large. And, most of them speak pretty decent English. So.
Yeah. Moving on. What about this? Another assassination attempt. I didn't see that on the mainstream media anywhere either, but I did hear just a blurb about it, and I didn't know if it was make believe or if it was the real deal. What's your guys' thoughts on that?
I haven't heard much about it. So
what I saw, more than anything, I saw some still photographs and that So it was down in Florida, and within, take this with a grain of salt, because I guess this is kind of opinions, but they're talking about within line of sight where Air Force One lands with the president, the Secret Service found what they're calling a elevated hunting stand. And if you look at it, what I consider it to be is it's a flat platform built up in a tree crotch is what it is. I've hunted out of similar things, but I guess reading a little bit into it, this isn't what you would call a hunting area. It's West Palm Beach, Florida, is where it's at.
Okay.
And I mean, West Palm Beach is not known for its deer hunting. That's not what it's known for. So what you have is a elevated hunting stand inside a tree that was within a couple hundred yards of where the president boards and exits Air Force One when he's down in Florida. So it kind of got hushed up. There was a couple of news stories that dropped quick, and then there wasn't anything else said. But I will tell you, in a follow-up story, and I don't pretend, guys, to know what this means or doesn't mean, but there's two different sets of stairs that they use on this, on that jumbo jet, the Air Force One, and one is what they call the short stairs, and one is what they call the tall stairs. And the tall stairs are the ceremonial stairs, where I guess it's another door where the president has time to walk up and turn around and wave to the camera, and it takes a longer amount of time. It's, I guess, better for photo ops. And then there's the short stairs, where there's only like six stairs that, and you very quickly get into the airplane. Well, since this incident, President Trump has been using the short stairs. So Secret Service changed the protocols. They want him getting on and off the plane as quickly as possible.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, so there has to be some kind of credibility to it.
And did I understand it? Was there a man arrested in relationship to this platform being put up there?
I haven't heard that part, Jim. It's possible.
Okay. Well, I just was curious. So.
I haven't heard that part. You know, and it's entirely possible, and we just don't know the story yet. Who the heck knows?
Well, I don't have any clarification on that, so I just was wondering if you had heard anything else. So.
Mm-hmm. I do know that the opposition, if you want to call it that, they're getting a lot more bold by the day as far as what they're coming out and saying and what they're suggesting. And rhetoric always turns to violence. I mean, that's the way it goes. Eventually, you can only talk so much, and it sure seems like that's the way we're going with the left.
Well, the hypocrisy in this fact that suddenly it's okay for them to grab a gun and go do something bad is interesting, because, you know, it wasn't just all that long ago, if memory serves, that guns were bad. Oh, you know, really. And I don't remember anything like that really happening on any other, what do you want to call it, players on the other side doing that. But certainly hypocritical how it's working out right now, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
All those times.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
when we said the second. I'm sorry, Jesse.
No, go ahead, Will.
No, I was just going to say, you know, all of those years, you think back 30 years ago, the Patriot Movement, and you had thousands of people across the country saying, hey, the Second Amendment's not about hunting. It's about an oppressive government. That's what the forefathers put it there for, and we have the right. That's our last-ditch effort when the ballot box doesn't work, and when media doesn't work, and when public opinion doesn't work. You know, this is our last-ditch effort to protect ourselves. And we were called terrorists and fill in the blanks. Well, it's funny, they're saying kind of the same thing while it's not going for them, right? Like all of a sudden it's not going their way, and they're saying, you know, hey, there's that Second Amendment for times just like this. And that part makes me smile and think, welcome to the party, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's kind of And I was thinking the same thing. Okay, you guys finally listen. We've been saying this for a long time. But then, you know, you got this guy out, and I think this was in Chicago, and I just want to read a little bit of it. It says, you got to grab a gun. These ICE agents got to get shot. And this comes from a Chicago militant. A radical agitator called for fellow militants to kill federal immigration officers during a disturbing speech in Chicago on Saturday, according to reports. Footage published by Graystack Media shows a man yelling into a microphone while standing with a Progressive Labor Party activist at Hands Off Chicago No Kings demonstration that devolved into violence outside an immigration and customs enforcement facility in the evening. You got to grab a gun. We got to turn around the guns on the fascist system. These ICE agents got to get shot and wiped out, the man demanded. Like, wow.
Wow.
That's the stuff that, you know, if people like you or me were out there saying something like that, we'd be thrown in the clink.
Yeah, they'd cuff you and stuff you. You know, you'd be an agitator, right? Yeah, exactly. So,
Chicago's just kind of, I mean, it's bad. Not a place to go right now, for sure.
No. Cause and effect. You know, what you were just, the story that was in the afternoon, this guy's up with a microphone, and it also made me kind of laugh that he's a community organizer in Chicago. We usually elect those people to become president. At least that's what happened with Obama. But so he's out there and he's saying all of this stuff. And then a couple hours later, when the sun goes down, they riot and try to burn down the ICE facility. Like, okay, so you're talking about violence and nobody's stopping you. You're out there, you know, rebel rousing and trying to incite a riot, and then there's a riot, and there's cops everywhere, but nobody tries to stop it. If either one of us guys run into the, I don't know, the hospital and start saying, hey, there's an active shooter, someone's going to come probably find out if there's an active shooter, and when there's not, we're going to get arrested. It's yelling fire inside the movie theater, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
This guy is out there in front of everyone on microphone saying, we got to kill these ICE guys. We got to kill these ICE guys, get a gun, you know, start a riot. And then a riot starts. As far as I know, this guy walked away scot-free.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Exactly.
Very interesting, man. I mean, you know, at the very least, wouldn't you call that like terroristic threats or something? I mean,
something. That's unless you got that black Mayor Johnson and the Governor Pritzker there in Illinois, and maybe they like exactly what this guy is saying, right? And that's why nothing gets done.
Well, don't you think that? You would think that would, meet the qualifications of a terrorist. Maybe. I don't know. Well, I mean, did you see the videos? And this isn't our notes or anything, but did you see what the protests out in, was that Oakland? Just outside, outside of San Francisco, over by Oakland.
San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the U-Haul truck that was backing up and trying to. I mean, and they said that guy just, I mean, he basically backed up that U-Haul truck, tried to, I mean, drive through the barricade using the truck box to protect himself, and then drove off. And I don't even think that guy got arrested.
He got shot, Jason.
Oh, he did.
There was a follow-up. The follow-up on that, because it was kind of sketchy in the first, because that video dropped on X and some different platforms. Well, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, is about an hour later, that dude walked into a hospital because he had been shot in the gut. And it turns out that a couple of ICE agents actually loosed some rounds inside the cab as he was trying to run him over. Okay. And so he has been arrested. And my understanding is for attempted murder. And I did come across that early this morning.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember. The name sounded like it was a white dude, from what I remember. But this may surprise you both. Hold on to your seats. He's aligned with Antifa.
I got it.
That might be hard to believe. So there you you go. Maybe when Trump said Antifa is a domestic terrorist organization, maybe it just wasn't politics. Maybe he was telling the truth.
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
Yeah. Did you guys get a chance, speaking of Antifa and all of this bull crap, did you guys see that ex post of the woman who comes out to her car and finds the note on her windshield?
No.
Did y'all get a chance to look at it?
Uh-uh.
All right, no. So this was, I'll read it if I can get it to pull up real fast. So this was in Texas. This was in the Dallas area of Texas. And a woman comes out. She starts filming this. She puts it out on X. In a Ziploc bag, in a one-gallon Ziploc bag, is this note, this black and white typed note that's folded over on itself, so that you can read it through the bag, and it's put under the windshield, right? It's like a car wash coupon or something that you would find when you're coming out of the grocery store. And this is what it says. It says, and I can only read so much of it because it's folded in half, so I don't get to read, and it doesn't matter because we're not going to email them anyways. But it says, "We have a job for you, helping us kill white women. It pays real money, taken from the American citizen taxpayer, and it comes with a long list of benefits that are worth even more money. We have stolen jobs and other things from Americans just like you have, and we have done many other things besides, as you have done also. That is what we all came to this country to do." It's obviously not written by someone who, "we all must stick together and help each other." And that's as far as it goes on the notes, but on the flip side of it, there is some contact information that this woman posted in the video, and what it seemed like, okay, is it's linked to the Communist Party USA, Antifa, and that sort of thing. And interestingly enough, the woman who found this note is a Hispanic woman. And what is being alleged is there are people like in parking lots of grocery stores that are watching Hispanics getting out of vehicles, and they're leaving these notes, these recruitment notes, basically saying, "We have a job for you, and it's killing white people. Wow. If you're interested, contact us."
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's just wild. So.
And the phone number to call in, I got to give this phone number out real quick, 307-745-5913, or our call-in number, our old one, is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203, or 307-745-5913. I did, when you were talking about that, I pulled that note up and read that. It's like, dang, they're getting serious about this.
Yeah, my finishing point on that is the intelligence that's been gathered from that note, is it's pointing to cartel money. It's cartels that are paying for that. It's a legitimate thing. It's not, that's no spoof. That's not clickbait or anything like that. It looks like, at least operationally here in Texas, that's cartel money that are trying to recruit people to do things.
Yeah, another reason to make sure you have access to protection at all times, because you just don't know.
That's right.
Coming soon to a place near you. I mean, there's this, we're living in, when the Bible uses the word, perilous times, and I think we're seeing that come around. It's just wild. So,
I don't know why the thought just came to my head, but typically, in my whole life, I've gotten in
Let's
trouble.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Hello,
yep, go ahead, Jason. Good morning, man.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, Kevin.
Oh, really?
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Hi, Tim. Hi, Will. Yep. Getting a little bit of frost.
That time of year, ain't it?
It is. Yeah. And I don't want to fail to mention that Tina Peters is still in prison.
Yep. I know.
Yeah. On this subject, Ireland, as late as September, have any of you seen Michael Higgins, the president of Ireland?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Doesn't he look like the typical leprechaun?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's funny.
Yeah?
That's funny.
That's a good point.
Yeah, little short guy with bald head, a little bit of hair around the edges. And
yep. Yeah. He looks like a leprechaun.
Yeah. I've looked into the Muslims in Ireland. They have a lot of no-go zones, especially on their coast. They have enclaves where no white people can go. And as late as September 15th this year, he's still calling for Israel and anybody that supplies Israel with weapons to be excluded from the United Nations. Have you seen that?
I have not. Interesting.
Yeah.
No.
I just looked it up again. He did it. He came out with that. It was over a year ago. There was some
Kevin, that was Michael Higgins that came out with that?
Yeah. You can look it up. I just checked that. There's a YouTube.
Yeah,
on.
There is. I just found it. President Higgins suggests Israel should be excluded. Wow. Yeah, there's quite a bit of information on it, actually.
Yeah, wow. There is. And the thing about Indians in Canada, it's really interesting to go to YouTube and look up the subject, why Canadians hate Indians. And it's an eye opener. For one thing, is they're building demonic statues all over the country. This is especially big in Ontario. They have built the largest statue on the North American continent. It's over 50 feet high. It's one of these big demonic statues, some goddess thing. Looks like snakes wrapped around it, thing, but there's others around the country. And it's in a position for all incoming air traffic to pass over it like a big welcome to the Indians. And you can Google Darling in Suitcase, or custom enforcement has found them putting cow patties in their suitcases, of all things.
Good gracious.
I already mentioned one time where they drink and bathe in cow piss. That's all real.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard a term I thought was pretty good recently, that the Muslims are the broom for the Jews. So
I like
wherever
that.
They want to commit strife, that's their. Pastor Peters always used to say that there's three people, right? Three agents in the. Situation. One uses the other to go after the other. That's what the imposters do. And you mentioned something about land ownership in Nicaragua. Wasn't that Ortega that was always shipping cocaine up to Mena, Arkansas?
Noriega. Yeah, Noriega.
I know people have gone down there to vacation. Yeah, figure that out. And I can't understand why the price of precious metals are coming down. They're really high just a couple weeks ago. The gold is being, there's something about all the gold being produced has been committed like for over 130% of production that's annually produced. It's really confusing. I can't figure it out. Because it's got to be fake. It can't be real. It must be on paper. Not physical. I'm really hoping Trump can do the right thing. I think it was Richard Nixon that started the war on drugs, like in the last of his term in office. And finally, we really do have a war on drugs. What's the last? It's the Gerald Ford, that our largest flat top is headed for the Caribbean, right? For that whole group.
It's on its way. Yeah.
Yeah, and they say they can make 35 miles an hour, but it can really go faster. with a flat top, you got a whole complement of all the other ships that come with it. They're already the B-1 bombers are down there. Some was it off of port out of Puerto Rico. China, Russia, and Iran have already said that they would not allow Maduro in their country, so he can't escape there. And that's pretty good. So I want to thank you very much for continuing. And I really find times all the way through the week when I just call and listen to the Pastor Peter's broadcast. And
good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's refreshing to me. If I hear one too many times, well, I'll just dial again later on.
Well, we definitely appreciate the call. You have a good weekend, Kevin.
You too, man. God bless you.
God bless. Thanks. And it's as simple as that. 307-745-5913. Always good to hear from Kevin.
No doubt. Yes, absolutely.
And I did not, I was looking at this stuff from the Irish president. There's a lot of stuff on that. That's kind of interesting. I hadn't heard that about how anti-Israel he was.
Or pro-Irish.
Exactly.
There you go, Tim. I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe that's why the cops did nothing, huh? Maybe that's why they felt like they were okay not doing anything.
Yeah. It's just interesting that what a mess. I mean, when you think about the filters and the way you have to look at things, that's just like I wondered about the gold and silver thing too, Kevin. It's all oversold speculatively on paper, contracts, huge. So I guess if you were running the house of cards thing and you didn't want to yank the foundations out, you might stop buying physical gold and silver and let it sink a little bit so you don't have to spend so much money on it, right? And see if you can hoover up some more of the real stuff as it comes out of the woodwork. So, trust me, they're not going to end up with paper that's expired and worthless. They're going to end up with the real stuff. At least that's their thought. That's my 2 cents worth. Well.
Yes, indeed.
Well,
Where? How about what did you guys hear about the No Kings protest on last? I guess it was a week ago, yesterday, or a week ago from today. I ended up in town, and we had a pretty good No Kings. Well, it was pretty good. It was big. There was a lot of people that showed up. I got stuck in some traffic because we couldn't get it across the road because there was too many people standing in the road. Ended up having to turn around and made a detour, but there was quite a few people that were there. But it looked to me like it fizzled out rather quickly, at least around here. They were talking about them, you know, lasting for several hours, and I think people got kind of bored and went home early. But do you guys hear about anything that happened during any of those?
Well, the one thing I'll say is I was watching some of the – it was nothing here, of course, which no surprise. But I did watch some of the remote, you know, reporters or investigative journalists or whatever running around. And I was impressed with how many interviews they did where people just didn't have any idea why they were really out there. You know, they're like, so what are you protesting? And it was kind of like mumble, mumble, mumble. They're bad, you know, and I think we've got a lot of people being, my takeaway from it was we got a lot of people being paid or poked
mm-hmm.
to show up out there who they don't really have a dog in the fight. They just are looking for some drama, you know, so, and they're just being used for cannon fodder and cattle. So that's my thought.
I'll make a little comment. The big No Kings protest that was near us, I laughed myself because I thought, you know, the local Democrat Party counts protesters the way they count votes. there was about 200 people that showed up, and the local Democrat Party put on their Facebook that more than 2,000 people showed up. And so I was looking at that thinking, no, there was about 200, which is more than I thought would show up, but yeah, 2000 really. But yeah, that was, that made me kind of chuckle of, yeah, man, no wonder, their math is not mathing, like it usually does, with the Democrat Party. But yeah, I didn't hear of any major violence anywhere in the country. If anything, I saw what Tim saw is just kind of the idiocracy of the people that were showing up and their stupid costumes and you know, you look at humanity and I mean, really, if you're wanting to be legitimate, I think it's more evidence of the left is just filled with lunatics. I mean, they're not productive people that are going out. What I saw was a bunch of elderly baby boomers who were hippies that are just looking for one more protest. And they have no clue what they're protesting about other than Trump's bad. You know, Trump's bad. And this is bad. Trump's bad. I mean, how many times did you hear that, Tim? Trump's bad. You know, he's a dictator.
Yeah.
And you know, Trump, who's got to be the king of trolling, you know, came out and said, if I was a king, they wouldn't be having these protests.
Like, right.
It's that simple of, you know, you're saying the man's a dictator, but you're out protesting and you're not getting arrested. How does that work? You know, like this is the weakest dictatorship I've ever seen, if that's the case.
Yeah. It leaves me just shaking my head because, you know, it's okay. Why is Trump bad? Mumble, mumble, yeah. Mumble, you know, I don't really know, man, but it's just got to change. We're just out here, you know, and it's so, you know, there are a few out there that are doing the yelling and the screaming. And if you listen to what they're saying, it doesn't make any sense either. Yeah. Okay. So nothing.
I got it. A guy who works for me was out at the local one, and it's cool today, but it was certainly hot last weekend. It was well up into the high 90s. And I called him and asked him, you know, how's it going? And he was down there kind of watching it. And he said, they're passing out a lot of bottles of water because it's hot. And he said, with this many old people, I hope they went to Sam's Club and got a steady supply of Depends, because these guys are not going to be able. And I started thinking about that, thinking, you know, there are so many old folks out there. I don't know if you guys saw that. To me, that was my big takeaway, is 50% of these No King protesters are elderly white people. I don't know if y'all saw that.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, they're not. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, shame on them. They're supposed to be leading the way and showing.
Yeah,
showing,
and these people have no clue what it would be like to be under the rule of a king. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, come on, pull your head out of your. People need to think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, it reminded me of when I was watching some of these things that are going on. I was thinking of 2 Thessalonians, 2:11 says, "For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." And it's like, wow, truer words, you know. So
there you go.
I mean, they got this deluding influence. They don't know what it is. I mean, they're so deluded, they can't even describe it, but they're going ahead and doing it anyways. So, but, yeah.
Well, moving on to science and technology. When I read this article, I thought, okay, is this a joke? I mean, is this put out by the Babylonian Bee or what? I really didn't realize that that this was taking place, but it says USDA drops live virus containing rabies edibles from helicopters, airplanes across the United States, leaving persons at risk for vaccine exposure and vaccine virus infection, from the CDC. And it talks about these this Rabarola V whatever oral rabies vaccine that they're dropping, and I guess it's I guess it's an annual thing. I didn't know about it, but dropping on all this vaccinations in an edible format across the country for animals.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like wow.
Idea.
Yeah, I know. It's like who thought of this? I don't even know where they're – I couldn't find where they're targeting. I mean, United States is a big place. It's like, are they doing it everywhere, or are they is there a certain place?
I found it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I found it. Yeah, because just like you, it's funny how we think because I thought the same thing, is this has got to be a joke. And I actually found the USDA press release on it, and it was all on the East Coast, and they started in August – and it is Holton, Maine, Brockport, New York, North Lima, Ohio, Buchanan, West Virginia, and then Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And now in October, they're in Abingdon, Virginia, Andrews, North Carolina, Dalton, Georgia, and Gadsden, Alabama. And that is where they're dropping this stuff. And each time, it is just for example, in Gadsden, Alabama, they dropped 718,000 baits. In Dalton, Georgia, they dropped 690,000 edibles. North Carolina, 400,000. Virginia, 635,000. And you just keep going through reading this, and it's, when you add it all up, it's millions of doses of this rabies vaccine, and it's genetically what is the word I'm looking for, guys? The mRNA.
Yes.
It's a genetically bioengineered vaccine, is what it is. It's alive, and the key thing here, as far as I'm concerned, is what about the deer hunters? You know, what about the trappers that are out there, you know, that are going to get exposed to this secondarily? Remember, this stuff is going into the bloodstream, which means it's going into the meat. So now you're eating genetically modified, supposed wild game that has this virus. I mean, I don't know how this got put into place. It's crazy.
I don't know how anybody thinks this is a good idea.
No, me either. And then we're turning around looking at some of our food supplies, like you said, with blue tongue and chronic wasting disease and things like that going on. And you know, I don't have any smoking gun, but a guy's got to wonder if they're not related. I mean, because this has been going on for a while. And why are we paying for this when, you know, I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but when we thought we'd seen a skunk or a raccoon with rabies, we just inoculated it with a .22 long rifle, and it didn't have a problem anymore. So
my last one that I had to deal with was a 12-gauge, but that .22 would have been effective.
Yeah, exactly. Well, whatever. Yeah, insert in caliber of your choice. You know, but, yeah.
I just thought to myself, we've had a full circle conversation where we started off talking about extermination, execution for rapists. That's how you make sure the rapist doesn't rape again. Kind of the same thing with a rabid coon. There's no treatment there. You know, you prevent it. It's funny, when you kill the one rabid coon, it doesn't have a chance to affect anybody else or anything else. The effectiveness rate of a .22 to the skull, I bet you, is higher than this edible, genetically modified rabies vaccination.
And the side effects are much more limited, too, I'm sure.
100%.
Well, and it says that it's a genetically engineered chimeric, I don't know what that means, but it's a human virus expressing a rabies gene. And it sheds, once an animal takes it, it sheds it for several weeks. So, I mean, you think about it, an animal eating that and then shedding it, you know, for several weeks, wherever it goes, it's like, dang, that could be, that stuff's going to be everywhere.
So, I'm sure you guys remember this, but the first thing I thought was, this is how we got Lyme disease.
Exactly.
I mean, there was no such thing as Lyme disease until they released this with the ticks, right, up in Rhode Island. And now you get Lyme disease, it will mess you up.
Yeah.
And
I know several people
what are we gonna get out of this?
Around here, I thought I had it there for a while and went through some treatment for it. But there's a lot of people here in my area that are suffering from Lyme disease. And like you said, it was a science experiment that wasn't supposed to get released out into the public. And guess what happened? Kind of like the chronic wasting disease with the deer, where we're experimenting on this and creating it, and then the gatelet gets left open and the deer escape and go into the deer population. It's like, do you really think that this stuff happens? I think that there's a lot more of this stuff that happens on purpose than we realize.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and I think that word chimera is a telling word. I mean, I think they're telling you right there what it is, because, you know, it's an organism that's made of the tissues. That's the body part of genetic composition of several different things. And if they're grafting or genetically engineering human DNA into it, does that not disturb anyone that they're feeding those animals the human DNA? I mean, which kind of goes back to cannibalism eventually when they're giving it to people. But, you know, it's like, what kind of changes are you putting into those animals?
I'll get really weird and say, you know, thinking about chimeras, that takes me back to kind of Genesis of the fallen angels, you know, genetically mixing with humans and, you know, producing what they produced. And that's a whole nother conversation. But if you really stop and think about it, the enemy kind of from the beginning has been trying to genetically modify God's creation, hasn't he?
Yeah. They want to destroy it. God said kind after kind.
They want to destroy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And this
God's
is just another
rules.
Good example. Yeah.
Yep. So, I we see there's Yeah, that's a whole side trail. I'm going to stay away from it.
Yeah. Because,
but, yeah, exactly. This is not right. This is anti-Christ, and it's against God's rules. So, and the fact that they're making American people pay for it, to me, is damning, too. I mean, that's like, yeah. So,
you know,
they're making people participate in it, even though they wouldn't or wouldn't want to. So,
Tim, don't you think? No, I was just in here thinking, and I know we're coming up to the end, but and maybe I'm wrong, but I think laziness and the no one wants to get their hands dirty anymore. They want somebody else to take care of it for them. And do you think that type of moral laziness is why people maybe are not up in arms over this? Because, you know, it's hard for me to believe, but I would say the majority of people that inhabit this country probably wouldn't like the idea of walking out in the alley and shooting a raccoon. I think we've devolved as a nation. So that laziness or lack of wanting to get your hands dirty, is that how we got here? I mean, I don't know. I go back to the idea of you see a raccoon in the alleyway at 2 p.m. and it doesn't look right. Well, that raccoon needs to die because that's not normal. It needs to go. And I don't know if people, I'm not sure if the majority of people think that way.
Well, it goes back to that Hegelian dialectic, because when you accept two opposing views, you're neutralized. Neutralized means you can't move forward or backwards. And
that's right.
That's the problem. We have a massive group out there who are just neutralized. They well, you know, that coon should be killed, but I can't kill it because it's a living creature, and that would be violent and it would be bad. So nothing happened, you know. So yeah, I think that.
Yeah, the phone number to call in is 307-745-5913 or 970-224-4203. Had somebody calling in on the other line. Go ahead. Well, let's move on to, prepper tip of the week. Did anybody have anything on that they wanted to talk about?
I got a lot of play off of last week's. I had multiple calls asking what the sutures were, so that was a good one.
I may have ordered some on Amazon.
it was good stuff. I wrote down just a couple of notes, and I'm just going to go over this real quick. 72 hours. I think that 72 hour is a good idea to, you know, some place to start. Some people, you know, if you don't have anything, it's a good place to start. But I just made some notes, as far as water. You got to think about this. Think about how many people you got in your family. 1 gallon per person per day is, you know, basically a minimum of what somebody should have. Food, non-perishable, easy to prepare items, energy virus dried fruit. You're going to be in a situation where trying to find stuff that's shelf stable for a long time and healthy is challenging. So do what you can. Think about shelter and, you know, basic first aid I think that is very important. I really like the multi-tools. I think that that's a good thing to have. And I know a lot of people laugh at me, but I carry a flashlight around in my pocket. I carry one of these wedges, and I think it's fantastic, and I use it all the time. We do have a call. Okay, I guess we lost him. Sorry about that. If you want to call back, we got a few minutes. Go ahead and call back. Okay, they did. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, hello? Okay, well, try back. And I carry one of these rechargeable wedge flashlights. I just end up using it daily. It comes in handy, but you know, if you got a flashlight, spare batteries, I think that that's important. And you know, gloves, masks, stuff like that. And we're changing seasons up here in Colorado, and you know, we've had snow in Wyoming, we've had snow just up above us, not too far, and when it's snowing, those roads can get slick, and you know, it's time to put stuff in our vehicles. And I've got a bag that my wife goes in the back of her car. You know, as soon as the seasons are changing and we're thinking that it's going to be that, and it's got, you know, blankets and winter gear that, you know, if you get stuck someplace and you had to walk out, you could you have a better chance of survival with having the proper gear. Yeah. And that's what we do around here. And I mean, there's times where, you know, when I'm traveling through, you know, different parts, when back years ago, used to spend a lot of time doing cross country travels. And you get into North Dakota, South Dakota, where it's really cold. You want to have some really extreme heavy duty gear. Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Kevin again.
Hey, Kevin.
Real quick on quick tip.
Yes.
People should learn that within 4 days there will be disease and pestilence if something hits this country. They should learn to build a composting toilet.
Yep.
And the best place to go is to the Humanure Handbook. And Joe Jenkins did that several years ago. I visited with him and seen his stuff. I sold composting toilets, but you can build one very simple using buckets and those screw on top buckets. What's the name of those? The gammon lids?
Gamma lids, yep.
And you can store them in your house. You can take them out later if it's bad weather and further compost it and make a good use of that. It's a resource, you know. It's not a waste. Yeah.
Good point.
I recommend that to people because you got to go somewhere, and you can't be poisoning yourself. And if you live in a small place or a city, you got to be doing something like that.
Yeah.
So it's really simple. Build some wood contraption. Put the bucket underneath, et cetera. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Good point.
Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
And, we got 2 minutes left. Closing thoughts, gentlemen.
Well, times are just heads up. Keep yourself spiritually, physically, and mentally aligned to God's will and way. I mean, I think that's what we should all be looking for.
I would agree with that. Yeah, and I would just go ahead with.
No, go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was just going to say, I did want to tell people, we played last week for church. I played The Truth for the Times, Never, Ever, Never Dare Call It Conspiracy by Pastor Peters. Fantastic message, and it made me come back and pull that book off the shelf and read it this last week, and it's a phenomenal book. And just wanted to tell people, it's a booklet, it's an easy read, but Pastor Peters, he was on that, he offered it free of charge to several times on there, and I want to just tell people, I think that book is just, if you read that book, I just saw so many things that were tied in with what we see happening in America today, and want to offer that book free of charge. If anybody'd like it, None Ever Call It Conspiracy, just write to us, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Request it, and I'll send it to you free of charge. It's a fantastic booklet. I think you'll enjoy it, and I think it's a good eye-opening tool for other people as well.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others,